Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to London, either in person or virtually, if you're watching online. And to this latest conference by Neil Stewart's Associates, Higher Education in FE Colleges, Collaboration and Competition, Degrees of Change. My name is James Winter. I'm the head of the Collaborative Partnerships Office at Manchester Met University. And I've just last week stepped down from the chair of the Council of Validating Universities. Okay, so higher education in further education, collaboration and competition, degrees of change. I hope that today's conference will provide an opportunity for you to find some clarity in the indistinct and contradictory HE landscape, I think, that has evolved rather haphazardly since the publication of the white paper, Students at the Heart of the System, in 2011. The message of the white paper appeared relatively clear that the coalition government's agenda was to open up higher education beyond the confines of the university sector, not only to FECs, whose participation in the delivery of HE has matured considerably over the last 20 years or so, but also to the private sector. There was a clear desire to create a freer market in HE where competition would drive down the higher fees that the government had already decided students would have to pay for their HNDs, foundation degrees, honours degrees from 2012. Yet what has emerged has not been any legislation or a framework to take the agenda forward. Indeed, the government appears to want to avoid parliamentary debate on this issue at all costs, preferring instead an apology from the Deputy Prime Minister and for HE policies to be devised and set out by the Funding Council, which for years claimed vociferously that it had no such remit. I've heard views expressed that Hefke's work in trying to achieve this is actually very impressive indeed. But it does little to provide a clear direction in which institutions of any kind can plan confidently for the future. It could be argued that it is further education colleges who are facing the greatest challenge of all. Of course, as we know, it's not a free market, far from it, and the HE environment has become more and more choked by the continuation of the student number control, the SNC, which forces all policy to be squashed into the Treasury's envelope for student loans. There was the first round of core and margin, by the end of which, when the government realised that it couldn't extend any student numbers to organisations that had not previously been in receipt of public funding, FE colleges found themselves pretty much in the same position as where they'd started when they'd had their section of the core removed. Now, in the second round, where that expensive bidding process is not to be repeated, there are some further education colleges whose existing numbers are so small that they have no chance of receiving any additions from this round and who are, frankly, seeking partnerships with the first validating university who knocks on their door bringing student numbers with them so that they can develop their higher education provision as they would like. There are 65 colleges that were awarded numbers for the first time in the first round of core and margin, but numbers are so small for them that the income, I would suggest, will barely cover the administration that their involvement in higher education will bring. The government appeared to change course, switching its adulation from the private sector to further education colleges. That was encouraging. Further education colleges as the champions of lower fees that students could afford. And it made very appreciative noises about the vast contribution that further education colleges make to widening participation. When it was acknowledged in the report commissioned by BIS, and published by Hefke in August. And certainly, the fees in FE are much lower, with very few colleges exceeding the 6,000 threshold for bursaries and other access commitments. But this has caused mayhem in the relationships with their validating universities. Some universities have withdrawn from relationships altogether. Some have taken back numbers from colleges to protect their own position in the new funding era. And in a market where the obsession of universities with brand and perceptions of quality led to most setting their fees at £9,000, the prospect of a cheaper version of their own programmes down the road signified not a major contribution to widening participation in higher education, but as an indicator of inferiority of their degree provision. This was not the case, of course, across the board, but it was certainly an argument that I heard several times across the sector in the year leading up to September 2012. Others felt that their erstwhile partners were now competitors in the race for students, a race intensified by the panic, almost, of the Rosser Group institutions and others with the removal of AAB students from the SNC last year. And its extension to ABB this time round is likely to make that competition even fiercer. And then, of course, there was clearing this year when many universities dropped so significantly the grades required for entry into their institutions that students who might have been planning a route through FE to attain the award that they're seeking, it chose instead the university option that opened up before them. And what's the alternative for further education colleges if their validating university has moved away? The suggestion that new validating bodies would be created, bodies that did not actually deliver higher education themselves, seems to have disappeared for the time being. In all of this, it would appear, as I suggested earlier on, that it is HE and FE that is feeling the squeeze most of all. On the plus side, the QAA has its new methodology for evaluating HE and FE, one might suggest, in appreciation, actually, an acknowledgement of the very positive outcomes of IQER that may have come as something of a surprise to QAA. The Higher Education Academy has announced that it wants HE and FE to be fully integrated into its activities and events, its briefings and its website, rather than the special treatment that it's given it given this particular issue up to now. So it's clear that FE has established its credibility in the HE sector, and yet it is not being given the tools at the moment to take full advantage of it. There are organisations trying to help. A shameless plug for the organisation from which I've just stepped down the chair. The Council of Validating Universities has plenty of events and guidance aimed both at its traditional membership of validating universities, but also its newer membership, if I can put it that way, from further education colleges and also from the private sector, both of which are represented on its executive council. There is also the Association of Collaborative Provision, which was set up initially, actually, from an initiative that sparked off by the Funding Council, and that meets regularly, specifically, to discuss higher education in further education with representatives of universities and the colleges that have been validated. And, of course, there are conferences like this one that give us an opportunity to share our experiences and to help us find the most sensible and productive way forward. There are doubtless many other factors of which I'm ignorant in my comfortable position in a relatively financially secure university, and I'm looking forward to understanding those better through through the contributions that we'll be getting today from our distinguished set of speakers. You have their biographies in your pack, so I won't go through those in any great detail as I introduce the speakers.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.